At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Welcome to another edition of Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show here on VSiN and VSiN.com. I'm Brady Cannon, along with Wes Reynolds, getting you ready for this week's event, the Byron Nelson, of course, in the Dallas area, in the Lone Star State of Texas, the final tune-up before the season's second major championship, the PGA Championship. But we look back at what happened last week first, and that was Rory McIlroy getting back into the winner's circle for the first time in a year and a half. He does so at Quail Hollow, his third win at the Wells Fargo Championship. He was two shots off the lead heading into Sunday, and he was paired with the 54-hole leader, Keith Mitchell. McIlroy managed to fire a 3-under par 68, and he won the tournament, Wes, with a score of 10-under par.
You know, Brady, I was using this actually as an evaluation point for McIlroy. I just wanted to see him make some progress and hit the ball a little bit better. And what does he do? He goes on ahead and wins the thing at 17-1, and he has now won three times here at the Wells Fargo. First victory since November 2019 at the WGC HSBC Champions over in Shanghai, China. And if you look at how Rory did it, really didn't hit very many fairways, didn't hardly hit any at all, but it didn't really matter because he led the field in scrambling. He was top three in the field for strokes gained putting, driving distance, and greens and regulation. We always know that Rory is probably going to gain more off the tee usually than he does on approach. I think his off the tee game is a little bit better than his iron game, but it's not that his iron game is weak, but the fact that he was able to scramble like that and the fact that he was able to make some putts, I think gives him some confidence. That's always kind of the thing with Rory. He can get really hot with the putter, or he can get really, really shaky. He's not all that consistent with the stick, so there's a lot of variance there. But Rory got it done, made a little bit of a mess there at 18, but had a two-shot yeah. lead, so held on by
one. Got a little nervy.
Yeah, and look, he was 15th in the world. Is where he was going into the Wells Fargo. That was the lowest ranking he had had since 2009 before he won his first ever PGA Tour event at the Wells Fargo in 2010. So it's kind of one of those things with when you have an elite player, which obviously McIlroy still is. When you have an elite player, if you're talking McIlroy, if you're talking Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas, John Rahm, it seems like even when you're out of form, you're never that far away from getting back into the winner's circle, and he certainly is now. He is now number seven in the official world golf ranking. He has assumed the role of favorite for the PGA Championship 10-1. We know he won there last time the PGA was at Kiawah Island back in 2012. Eight-shot victory, shot 13 under par. Second place was only 5 under par. So we know that he can destroy these golf courses, and he can win big in the majors, and he certainly did that. And then looking down the board, Abraham Anser, here. Nice round on Sunday. Nice close again. Kind of similar to what he did at the RBC Heritage, where he fell one short of Webb Simpson. So Abraham Ancer, top 20 player in the world, he has actually never won on the PGA Tour.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of names further down that leaderboard that I think you need to take a hard look at going forward. You mentioned Abraham Ancer, Gary Woodland, maybe he's returning to form. Keegan Bradley with another good week. And then Bubba Watson, he finishes 18th. That's two top 10s and two top 20 finishes in Bubba's last five
and
starts.
And he shot five over in the last two holes on Sunday, so deserved a much better finish. So keep that in mind. And also, Mr. Consistency, I've already got him for the PGA next week. Victor Hovland, back-to-back top three finishes. So the form is going to be very good, and I think he's going to be very popular next week for the PGA Championship. He tied for third with Keith Mitchell. That was actually Keith Mitchell's best finish on the PGA Tour since he won the Honda Classic in 2019, 200-1. Thank you very much, Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah, you and I both came close with Victor Hovland, who, like you said, has a top five finish for the second week in a row. I did have him for a top 10, so that was nice to cash that. I was also able to get Emiliano Grillo and Brian Harman home with top 20 finishes, and also won my head-to-head matchup. Matt Youmans won his head-to-head matchup, Justin Thomas over John Rahm. How did you do other than the outrights, Wes?
I was 2-1 on that matchup. The one that I lost was Lanto Griffin over Charles Schwartzel. More to come with Mr. Schwartzel later in the program, by the way. There's a tease for you.
Oh, Mr. Schwartzel, former winner at the Valspar, and of course the Masters, maybe on Wes's card for the Byron Nelson coming up outside of Dallas in McKinney, Texas. Colt Knost will be our guest on the program, and we will get to Colt in just a minute as we look to preview the Byron Nelson, the final tune-up before the PGA Championship. And we remind you that this is Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show, right here on VSiN and VSiN.com. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you. And now it is time to bring in our guest, Mr. Colt Knost.
It is. Hey guys, how we doing?
I'm good, my friend. It is the member guest segment here on Long Shots. And Colt, thank you very much for coming on the program. Of course, Wes and I have both been a guest on your show. You can find Colt with Drew Stoltz on PGA Tour Radio and also their Golf Subpar podcast. And Colt, of course, a former PGA Tour player. And I was looking, you know, doing some research for this tournament, the Byron Nelson, at a new course, of course, TPC Craig Ranch. And I found that back in 2008, when it was the Nationwide Tour, you finished third at this golf course, Colt, didn't you?
I did. And I think that surprises a lot of people, because I think with what everybody has heard about Craig Ranch is how it's long, it's a bombers golf course. But for some reason, I seem to always play really well there. I finished third there the one year I had to go to Q school. I went to second stage there and I finished second. So I kind of like the place.
Yeah, you know, of course, you went to SMU. You grew up in Texas, so I'm sure you're very familiar with this golf course. We mentioned the third place finish not that long ago. What type of player is it? And you alluded to it. You thought it may be a bomber's place. Is that what it truly is? What do you think the skill sets are that are going to be most important this week at TPC Craig Ranch?
Well, I'll say this. It is very, very generous off the tee. And we've had a lot of rain Monday and today, and I think tomorrow it's not going to, but it's going to be soft. It's going to play pretty long. But, I mean, what's really long for these guys in today's world? You know, I mean, it seems like everybody absolutely smashes it. But I'll say I was talking to Bryson DeChambeau last week. I asked him if he was playing this week. He said, I am. He goes, it sets up perfect for me. It's a bomber's golf course. So, yeah, I definitely look at the longer guys to have an advantage, especially with the rain making it play soft.
Colt, judging by the returns that you've got from talking to players, you mentioned you just talked to Bryson last week. Do the players seem to be happy to be on this course? I know Trinity Forest got a lot of mixed reviews, kind of that Lynx-ian feel, I guess, is what they were going for. But a lot of players didn't seem to like that course. It seems like, just from what I've read, they're happy about the move.
I think so. I just don't think Trinity Forest worked out very well. You know, it never really played the way it's supposed to. And that's hard to do in May. It's a links golf course. The wind's supposed to blow. You're supposed to be able to keep the ball on the ground. And that just never really worked here. And it's not located in the best place for a PGA Tour event, in my opinion. I mean, I always use the example of, I mean, I was out here and Jordan Spieth was finishing it up. There might've been 100 people around the green, which normally when we see Jordan Spieth groups, no matter where he is, it's packed. And especially in his hometown, you'd expect it to be packed. And that just wasn't the case out here. It just wasn't a good fit for the galleries compared to Four Seasons. I think Craig Ranch is going to be awesome. It's obviously 30 minutes north of downtown Dallas. I think it won't be quite the party that we used to see at the Byron Nelson, but as far as a golf gallery, I think it's going to be great. And I think people are very, very excited for the new venue.
Colt, when we try and handicap this field and who might have success here this week, are there any other courses on tour where you could maybe use as a comparison where we could draw a correlation? Of course, it's a Weisskopf design, is TPC Craig Ranch, and he's done a few tweaks on tour to a couple of courses, but really hasn't featured a major design of any particular course on the rotation. Anything that we might be able to use as a similarity to TPC Craig Ranch?
Yeah, I think you could kind of put it in the same class as, like, say, a more wide-open TPC Scottsdale. You know, it gives you a little more room off the tee. The par fives are very, very gettable. It's got some strong par fours. But for the most part, I just think I expect extremely low scores. I mean, the wind I saw, you know, maybe as high as 15 miles an hour, nothing crazy. But I think these guys can really rip it apart. I would look for who averages the most birdies per round on the PGA Tour. That's a key stat here, because I think there's going to be a lot of birdies made. I mean, I'm not sure if they're playing as par 72 or par 71. They've gone back and forth with that, because the 12th hole, they sometimes play as a long par four or a short par five. If they play to the par five, I mean, all these par fives are very, very reachable for these guys, and I expect them to just torch this place.
Colt, we mentioned earlier your success in terms of the Q School here on this course, and you being a local there in Dallas. But we got a lot of local flavor here, really, with the Texas guys, and especially the top pairing in the field. Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, Will Zalatoris, all Dallas residents, going to be in that featured pairing. Then, of course, you have Ryan Palmer, Doug Gim, guys that played college golf like you did down in Texas. But do you think that that's an advantage or a disadvantage? Because oftentimes we see, and especially like on the European Tour, when somebody is playing his home event, when you got somebody from Denmark playing the Maiden Denmark tournament, there's a lot of pressure to win in your home country, just like there's a lot of pressure to win in your hometown or your home state. Or do you think that these guys just have so much experience on this course that they're going to have an advantage?
Well, I agree that it's always tough playing in front of, you know, your home city, your state, whatever it is. I mean, because you have that support, and you never want to let your friends and family down. If you look at Jordan Spieth, I believe his best finish in the Byron Nelson is 16th, and that's when he was 16 years old. So he just hasn't had that great of luck here. He actually missed second stage of Q School at TPC Craig Ranch right when he turned pro. But I would say knowing the golf course definitely is an advantage. I mean, if you look at a guy like Sung Kang, who plays and practices out there every single day when he's home, he knows the place very, very well. I would say most of the Dallas guys, they're not up that direction. But still, playing it, I think, just having that comfort level of knowing where you can hit it, knowing where you can miss, is always a big advantage.
Colt, Bryson DeChambeau was in the field for the first time last week since the Masters, and it looked like he was going to miss the cut. He thought he missed the cut, and he had to fly back, and he actually played very well and notched a top 10 finish. And, of course, he is also an SMU Mustang and lives in the Dallas area, as you do. You mentioned that you'd spoken to him, and he feels this course very much suits his game. This course is new to us. It's never appeared on the PGA Tour before. But in your mind, do you think that is accurate, that this course absolutely sets up well for Bryson?
Oh, totally. I mean, he's going to be able to let it loose on a lot of holes where if he does hit it 50, 60 yards offline, it's not going to be a problem. Now, there's a few holes that it can come up and bite him, but for the most part, he can just step up and absolutely send it. And I think these greens, they're very, very good. I mean, they roll beautifully. I don't think they're very hard to read. Kind of what you see is what you get. I think it's a perfect golf course for Bryson DeChambeau.
And Bryson DeChambeau, by the way, one of the metrics I looked at this week, of course, was strokes gained off the tee, because the fairways are so wide and generous. And who, of course, is always number one in that category, that being Bryson DeChambeau, Sergio, Johnny Vegas, Keith Mitchell, John Rahm, the top five really in this field when you look over the last 24 rounds for strokes gained off the tee. But Colt, I know Bryson, obviously, he makes a lot of sense here, but he's such a short price. Who are you on to win it, though, this week? Maybe some of your shorter guys, and maybe if you got a couple longer players that you like here this week.
Yeah, as far as the shorter guys, you know, I'm looking at John Rahm. I know he's one of the tournament favorites, but I think that missed cut's really going to fire him up. I think this is a great golf course for him, which most golf courses are very, very good for John Rahm. But I think, you know, being a little wider, he struggled with the driver a little bit last week. Around the greens, he's fantastic, and chipping off this Zoysia grass makes it even easier, which I think he's going to really thrive with. So I love him to most likely bring home the trophy. As far as maybe a guy you get a little better price at, I love Mark Leishman this week. You know, you can get him anywhere around 25 to 30 to 1. A guy that just seems to play well on certain type of golf courses, and you know, not the straightest driver of the golf ball on the planet, but he's a fantastic iron player, which I really, really like. If you want to go way down the list, a guy who played well in the 2012 Korn Ferry Tour Championship there, James Hahn, finished second. James Hahn's kind of the guy that just, you know, no matter his form, he seems to just pop up every once in a while and contend for a championship. So he's one definitely way down the list that I like.
Colt, what about some of the players that you think might struggle here this week? Are there any of the notables that you feel maybe this course just doesn't suit them? I mean, you talked about it being a birdie fest. It's hard to have a rough week if the course is going to be so gettable for these guys. But is anybody on your list that maybe you're going against this week?
Well, I mean, if you look at Brooks Koepka, I just don't think we know what's going on with him right now, how he feels. You know, he's taken 5 weeks off since the Masters, and I believe every time he's taken at least 5 weeks off, he's come back and finished no better than 24th. So never really had that great a form after a long break. I looked for him to struggle a little bit. You know, I just think the shorter guys, like a lot of people are kind of high on Doug Gim, I feel like, this week, and I just don't really see that this week. I don't think he hits it very far, and I think with it being soft, he could struggle a little bit. But mostly, I'm very interested to see what Brooks Koepka does this week.
Colt, looking forward to next week. Of course, Kiawa Island back in South Carolina for the PGA Championship, first time since 2012. And the more things change, the more they stay the same. The guy that won it last time there is now the favorite after what he did last week at the Wells Fargo, that being Rory McIlroy. Now seeing him basically as the 10-1 kind of consensus favorite in the marketplace. And if you look back last time, a lot of Europeans did very well at that course, a very long course it's going to play, maybe in the 7,700 yards range this time out. Europeans were 7 of the top 10, led by Mr. McIlroy last time. Any bets you have in pocket or any plays you're planning to make so far in the PGA?
I tell you what, you know, I know they did very, very well there last year, or last time in 2012, and Rory won by 8 shots, obviously, but I think it's going to be a much different golf course. The forecast looks very, very good. It's going to be in May. I expect the wind to blow quite a bit more. It's going to be drier. You know, I was out there the Monday after the Masters taking a look at it. I mean, it is a big boy golf course. I mean, if they stretch it all the way out, it's the longest in major championship history at 78-56, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, first off, Rory McIlroy deserves to be the favorite with his course history there and obviously what he did last week. I think if the wind blows, it's going to be extremely tough to hit those small greens out there. I love a guy like Jordan Spieth with his short game. I think Patrick Reed could be a big, big factor around there. It's going to be, I think, a very wide open, but you're definitely going to have to be one of the longer hitters. I mean, I know they're not going to stretch it out every single day, but if you're looking at 76 to, you know, 7,700 yards every single day, you can't be a below average hitter and compete around there.
Colt, have you ever played the Ocean Course at Kiawa?
So funny story. I went out there and I did a deal with Colin Morikawa the Monday after the Masters, and I did a 2-hole walk and talk with him. I played holes 11 and 12, which is a long par 5 and a long par 4, and that was the end of my time with him. And they said, "You're more than welcome to play the rest of the golf course." I said, "No, thank you. This place looks extremely way too hard for me. I'm out of here." So I drove around the back nine, looked at it. It's gorgeous. It's a beautiful place. If the wind blows, I mean, all hell can break loose. It just looks extremely hard. 17's 220 yards, and I'm not sure where the hell you're supposed to hit it.
We spoke with a golf professional in the North Carolina Charlotte area last week, and he was kind of the same story. He had played one of the other courses there, and they said, "Hey, guys, you can go out and play the Ocean Course if you want for $25. And he said, "No, thanks." Do you have any idea? Now, you allude to the fact that you don't think the shorter hitters can really survive here if they stretch this thing out all 4 days. What type of player is it going to take? You pointed towards Spieth and Reed. Do you think it's really going to, you know, come down to a short game wizard that could take the title there next week?
I think it all depends on the wind. If the wind blows, I think it's going to be extremely difficult to hit greens around there, and you're going to have to leave it in the correct places and get the ball up and down. And those are two of the best in the world, in my opinion. Now, a guy that I just love and I think sets up great for PGA championships, just because, you know, when it plays hard, he's great. When it plays, it's a birdie fest, he plays great. I mean, Justin Thomas, it just seems like a guy that could hoist the Wanamaker once again. His iron game is just absolutely elite. But then you look at a guy like Xander Schauffele, who, I mean, it's not if or when he wins a major championship, in my opinion. I mean, he's just got all the tools, and I think he's poised to break out here soon.
All right, my friend. Well, thank you so much for joining us on Long Shots. I know you're busy down there at the Byron Nelson for the week. Enjoy yourself, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
You got it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right. That is Colt Knost, former PGA Tour player. You can also find him on PGA Tour Radio on SiriusXM and the Subpar podcast with our friend Drew Stoltz. So we've done the double dip. We had Drew Stoltz to preview the Phoenix Open for us, and then we get the other half of the podcast there with Colt Knost in his native Texas area to preview the Byron Nelson.
And I thought it was interesting what he said about the PGA, that maybe Jordan Spieth can make up for that length deficiency, really, in terms of just the fact that he is such a good ball striker. I looked at him this week, and I did not bet him this week for the Byron Nelson, but number one in strokes gained approach over the last 24 rounds by a country mile, by about 9 shots over the next guy, which was Tom Hoagie in second place. And he mentioned about Gim this week. Gim's approach game is really strong. That's why a lot of people, including myself, kind of like him this week. But to his point, he does not hit it very long off the tee. So when you get on these big courses, you do worry that some of these guys are going to get legislated out of the game. But look, Jordan Spieth's won on longer courses before, despite the fact that he doesn't really get it out there with the big guys. He can make up for it with the scrambling. He's such an elite scrambler and a putter. That's why I'm not so dismissive necessarily of Jordan Spieth next week, even though I'm probably not going to be on him.
Yeah, now it's interesting. Doug Gim this week, Colt Knost mentioned it right there at the open of the program there, how he finished third at TPC Craig Ranch, mm-hmm. On the Nationwide Tour Championship thing there, and thought that might have been surprising to people because he was not a bomber. He was a shorter hitter, a more precision iron player type of deal. And I think Gim absolutely fits that mold as well. I like Doug Gim this week too. Went to UT in Austin mm-hmm. there, very familiar with this golf course. But certainly not next week. I think next week is a different animal. But what the point you bring up about Jordan Spieth, and he talked about Spieth and Patrick Reed. I would say Patrick Reed is probably almost in play every week more so than Spieth is.
Well, yeah, because Patrick Reed, I think he's not a really long hitter either.
He's decent
with the irons, but really the thing with Patrick Reed, he's kind of very Spiethian, even though he's a little bit of a bigger guy. Is that he seems to make everything, mm-hmm. Patrick Reed, especially in big tournaments. I mean, there have been discussions of this guy. It's like, how does he get up and down from there? And he always seems to do that. And you got to be a scrambler in a major championship. It's not just, even though the PGA, you get lower scoring than you get in a U.S. Open and whatnot, you got to be able to scramble and be able to save some tough pars and be very tidy around the greens.
The PGA Championship has really been a bit more geared towards the bombers in recent history. We certainly saw that last year at Harding Park in San Francisco. We'll see if it caters more towards the short game this year with guys like Patrick Reed and Jordan Spieth. Next up, we're going to take a look at the event on the European Tour. We go across the pond with Wes Reynolds, who's hit a few outrights on the other side of the world here this year on Long Shots. We'll be right back. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have
have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome back to Long Shots right here on VSiN and VSiN.com. It is time to take a look at the event on the European Tour. We go across the pond with Mr. Reynolds. Wes takes a look at the European Tour event this week, which is the British Masters in England. And Danny Willett, the former Masters champion, is your tournament host. And this tournament actually, Wes, begins on Wednesday, which will be about 11:30 p.m. Pacific time on Tuesday evening for us here in the United States.
Yeah. They want to get these guys a chance to have an extra day to come back to play for the PGA. There are several guys in this field that are in the PGA Championship field, so this will be a Saturday finish instead of a Sunday finish. You mentioned the British Masters, now sponsored by Betfred, which is a UK-based bookmaker. Took that over a couple years ago. And Danny Willett is the host. Starting in 2015, they went with an English player to be the host of this event. Ian Poulter's hosted, Luke Donald, Lee Westwood, Justin Rose, Tommy Fleetwood, now Danny Willett, and they usually hosted a course that's kind of near either where they live or near their boyhood home. So this course here that they're playing the British Masters at the Belfry, about 3 hours from where Danny Willett grew up, and this is the Brabazon course at the Belfry that's playing host this week. This course actually has the distinction in that it's hosted more Ryder Cups than any other venue, hosted the Ryder Cup 4 times. So they've held a lot of different European Tour events over the years, but hosted one for the first time since 2008 last summer, and that was the ISPS Handa UK Championship, which was won by Rasmus Højgaard, the young Danish player. And that just seems like such an easy take, but I thought the price was actually very fair. Højgaard won it in the playoff over Justin Walters last year. So now they're back at the Belfry. Højgaard is very good in terms of stroke gain approach. I think he's fifth on the European Tour right now. And I went with him at 23-1. And that's kind of in the range where he is right now. He was actually runner-up at this event, the British Masters, last year in the first start post-lockdown. It was held at Close House course, where Renato Paratore ended up winning the event. And then Højgaard went sixth at the Hero Open, third at the English Championship, and then won it in the Belfry last year. So really, the twin brother of Rasmus Højgaard, Nikolaj, has kind of been making some of the headlines. 3 finishes of 15th or better, a 7th and the 4th in the last 4 weeks. So maybe that's some encouragement. Rasmus actually was in the U.S. for the most part over the last month, month and a half. So now you get a drop back down in class, a little bit of a weaker field with some of the players already over here, getting ready for the PGA, maybe even some playing the Nelson this week down in Dallas. So Højgaard at 23-1. Matthias Schwab, the Austrian, 27. 7-1, 3 finishes of 8th or better in his last 4 starts, top 10 on the tour in greens and regulation, top 15 in approach, and also in tee to green. So Schwab is kind of one of those young guys, because we've seen so many of these young guys on the tour win in recent years. Højgaard, Sam Horsfield,
Garrett Kiggo,
who is actually not playing
21
this week.
Or something like
that? Garrett Kiggo won twice in 3 weeks at the Canary Islands, 12-1 last week, by the way. He won by 6 shots at the Canary Islands Championship, now number 51 in the world. And he's actually in the PGA, as is Højgaard and some of these other guys. So Schwab at 27, Højgaard at 23. Callum Hill, another guy I really like, another young player that I think is due for a win here on the European Tour, 35-1. T9 in this course last year at the Belfry, the UK Championship, but he was 4th overall that week in terms of strokes gained approach, in terms of tee to green. So Callum Hill, I think, could be one ready to go. Laurie Kanter, 45-1. I was on him the last week or so, and he made the cut. He didn't really feature at Canary Islands, but he had a six-week absence, so that might have been just knocking the rust off. He was T13 on this course last year, six off the tee, eighth tee to green. Think he can go well. Jamie Donaldson, 45-1. No worse than 16th in his last four events. So he's kind of finding a career resurgence late in his career at 45.
And you know, then you've kind of highlighted him, and I've been paying attention. You're right. He has absolutely found a second wind, if you will. I remember years ago, this guy was kind of the new guy on the European
scene. He was the Ryder Cup at Glen Eagles, played very well.
And all of a sudden, you and I have been watching the European Tour here when we come in on the weekends, and Donaldson has had some really good finishes at 45-1, and you mentioned it, a weaker field. I like that play a lot.
And my long shot up there, I don't know if it's on the graphic, Marcus Armitage, 75-1. Never really got going in the Canary Islands last week, but a T10 in Kenya, T4th in Austria in the previous two starts, T7 here on this course last year.
And, of course, my man Sam Horsfield, the Florida Gator. I kind of like Donaldson, though, because he does not have that pressure of having to play the PGA Championship next week. Maybe he's more focused this week.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does that make it all?
No, it makes a ton of sense. Hopefully you're right there, Brady.
Sam Horsfield is expected to be in the PGA Championship field, so maybe Donaldson's our guy on the European Tour this week. We will talk about that PGA Championship coming up next on Major Implications. Welcome back to Long Shots. The next major on the calendar is the PGA Championship coming up next week in Kiawah Island, South Carolina, and it will be the Pete Dye-designed Ocean Course where the 1991 Ryder Cup was played, as well as the 2012 PGA Championship. Now, ball striking, we talk about that a lot on the program. Of course, that is hitting greens in regulation along with precision iron play, being able to work the ball in both directions. It's an area of focus nearly every week and very important week to week on the tour, but many feel it will be particularly important at Kiawah for the PGA Championship. And defending PGA champion Colin Morikawa is arguably one of the best iron players, ball strikers in the entire world. And he talked about the importance of ball striking at Kiawah. And I believe we have a graphic of what he had to say there. And Morikawa goes on to say, I think it's definitely a ball striker's course. You have to be able to control your ball. You have to be able to flight different shots and work the ball from left to right, right to left. And that kind of suits me, hitting a bunch of 6, 5, 4 irons into green, some longer clubs is what he alludes to there. You really can't get lazy on any of these shots. You can't take anything for granted. And it'll bite you in the butt if you do that, for sure. And he's kind of saying here that this kind of really kind of plays into his wheelhouse.
And it just might, and I can't really doubt him. It certainly did last year at Harding Park in San Francisco. Now, this is a little bit longer of a course. And Colin Morikawa, not the longest hitter off the tee in his own right, but man, and with the iron in his hand, maybe only Justin Thomas, I think, and that's what you see there. I believe they're the top two on the PGA Tour right now for strokes gained approach. They pretty much probably will be every year for the next several years because they are so good with the irons. I think they are the two best iron players in the world, and the stats and the metrics and everything really bear that out. And you look at Morikawa, like I said, not a very long hitter, but so darn precise. When he hit that second shot on that par five that just got that right bounce where he really put it away at the PGA.
Oh, yeah.
Last year, I think it might have been hole number 16, I believe. But that's when he pretty much put it to bed. And, you know, he's not in bad form either. He obviously has already won this year at the Workday at the concession. And he finished T7 at the RBC Heritage. Respectable effort at the Masters, T18. So he's not a guy that, like, puts a bunch of finishes together where it's like, okay, top 10, top 10, top 10, top 10, top 10, like 5 weeks in a row. but he kind of strikes, you know, he'll find his spots, and maybe this is a place where he could. And you look in terms of the strokes gained approach with Morikawa and Thomas being top two. Will Zalatoris obviously made a very nice acquittal of himself at the Masters earlier this year, finishing runner-up. Very good ball striker. And I have a couple guys, and Zalatoris is one I'm thinking about adding to my card. But no surprise, we see strokes gained approach when we do this, Brady, every single week. That's always something we look at, literally every single week. It's going to vary different things in terms of proximity or in terms of how much important off the tee might be or how much distance might be. Approach is like important every single week.
Well, it's kind of the modern day version of greens in regulation, and greens in regulation for years on tour was the predictor stat of who was going to win. Mm-hmm. You have to hit greens in regulation, and now they've kind of taken that stat to a new level. How well are you hitting those greens in regulation? How close to the hole are you putting it? How accurate are you with your irons? And certainly Colin Morikawa at the very top of that list, along with Justin Thomas. You look at these top ball strikers on tour by the stats here as far as gaining strokes, strokes gained approach, and again, Morikawa and Thomas and Zalatoris there on the top of the list. I do have one guy on this list already in pocket to win the PGA, and that is Keegan Bradley. And you're seeing his number there. His current number is 100-1 to win the PGA. I got him a few weeks ago when he was 250-1, and his numbers really come crashing down as he's continued to have good weeks, consecutive weeks on the PGA Tour.
And it's just kind of like with the putting, and we know that's what we always come back to with Bradley, because that iron play is always going to be top-notch. But that putting is not always going to be top-notch, as we've seen. But you know what? That's the thing. It just takes one good week. And that's what putting does, because what I always say when I'm handicapping this is that the approach game and your iron play and even your off the tee to play to a lesser extent is usually going to stay true. Mm-hmm. You'll have maybe a bad week here or there, sure. But usually you kind of are what you are.
Especially over the course of 4 days too, right?
Yeah, usually you are what you are when you look at that, but it's the putting that has the most variance. That's why it's the toughest thing to handicap, because there'll be someday, I think it might have been, I think at the Valspar where Bradley gained like 6 strokes putting in a round, which is like, well, he's only going to go down from there, because you know he is not that level of class of a putter. He's not a Spieth or a Patrick Reed or even a DeChambeau or somebody like that on the greens. But I think at that number, and now seeing that it's drafted down, you've got a lot of equity there. And currently 8th on tour and approach, gaining about 0.8 strokes per round. Those are going to add up if he can just be okay on the greens. He's won a PGA before, and he's down on the board, so there's not as much pressure here. And he's been playing pretty solid golf of late. He actually, I think, played very well last week in Charlotte off that near miss that he had at the Valspar. So you would have thought, okay, total fade. And then he played very solid last week.
Yeah, he's also a really good driver of the golf ball. Hits his irons well and drives it well. We'll see if the short game comes around next week at Kiawah Island. Let's go over some of the plays that we have for the Long Shots crew in pocket for the PGA Championship. Matt Youmans is on Joaquin Neiman at 67-1, and he just added Adam Scott. He often bets Adam Scott in major championships.
And I have, too, over the years, and he's a guy that's really focusing on those major championships,
yes,
because he's playing a lot less, taking more weeks off now in his 40s. He basically said, hey, I'm going to concentrate on about the 10 to 12 big events a year, which would be the majors, WGC players, and then a few of those usual tournaments that he plays, like Riviera, where he's had a lot of success. So, you know, Adam Scott, I've been betting him a lot and not getting rewarded over the past couple years, but he's a guy that could surely go off here as long as he's healthy.
Now, you and I are both on Victor Hovland in the neighborhood of 35-1 to win the PGA Championship. Certainly one of the hottest players in the world the last few weeks. And I really like the way he adds up with everything here at Kiawah. And you look at a couple of his victories, his only two victories on the PGA Tour, they have both come on that Pass Palom putting surface. Mm-hmm. And that is what we are going to get at Kiawah. It's this putting surface we don't see all that often. Usually it's Bent, Bermuda, Poana out on the West Coast. but we've got Paspalum here at Kiowa, and of course that has been very kind to Victor Hovland.
And like a lot of young players, the putter is really the weak club in Victor Hovland's bag, so I think getting on this surface is going to be very good, even though Victor Hovland did putt well on the Bermuda there in Charlotte last week at Quail Hollow. Back-to-back third place finishes for Victor Hovland. I think he is absolutely peaking at the right time.
We hope so, absolutely. We'll get to our plays for the Byron Nelson coming up in the next segment called Match Play.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice
remote. Welcome back to Long Shots. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you previewing the Byron Nelson, and it's time to go to the match play segment where we put out all of our plays for the week up, and we start with our colleague Matt Humans. And Matt's going with a few Texas residents on his card this week. As far as the outright market, he's got Scotty Scheffler there at 22-1. That would be the first PGA Tour victory if Scheffler was to go on and capture this one this week. Will Zalatoris also on the card for Matt at 22-1. It was interesting. We've seen this week Zalatoris and Scheffler have been playing this course together since they were teenagers. Mm-hmm. In the neighborhood of 10, 12, 13 years old, these guys have been playing TPC Craig Ranch. Mark Leishman, who's had a lot of success here in the state of Texas, he is at 35-1. Of course, just won a couple of weeks ago in the team event in New Orleans with Cameron Smith. And then Ryan Palmer, another Texas guy, Matt's longest shot at 45-1. And then finally, a head-to-head matchup for the full tournament with Scotty Scheffler at minus 105 over Matthew Fitzpatrick.
And you mentioned Zalatoris and Scheffler. They will be in the group together for the first 2 days with Jordan Spieth, the all-Dallas team, basically. Zalatoris lives just outside of Dallas in Plano, and Spieth and Scheffler also live in that area. So a lot of PGA Tour players live in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. It's one of the most fertile grounds for PGA Tour players, basically, out there. Orlando certainly up there in the mix as well. Las Vegas.
All started with a guy named Byron Nelson.
Exactly, who won this event. And that's what it's named after. It was the Texas Victory Open, 1944. Byron Nelson won the first event, retired, then was the host from 1968 until his passing, I believe, in 2006. So that's who it started with. So a lot of Dallas-Fort Worth players, and I am on one of those players, actually, this week.
And one thing to keep in mind about Will Zalatoris, too, let's not confuse his lineage, if you will. He grew up in San Francisco.
Yes.
Now lives in Dallas. Went to Wake Forest University, so maybe not quite.
Not quite the homegrown guy like Scotty Scheffler.
Sure.
Is.
Sure, or Spieth.
And even Scheffler's from New Jersey, but played at Texas. Jordan Spieth, obviously, being from Texas. So logical card there for Matt. A lot of people that we respect also like Mark Leishman this week. And last time he played, he won down there in New Orleans with Cameron Smith. So there's something to be said for good form.
What about your card, Mr. Reynolds? Who are you going with this week?
Okay, I will go ahead and start because I kind of got a couple shorter guys, and then I went longer and middle guys, really, in terms of the rest of the board. So I'll go ahead and piggyback. I'll start with Zalatoris first at 22-1. I also played that with Matt. Missed the cut last week. First time in 14 events he had missed the cut at Quail Hollow. But I don't think this is a jump-off point. I wish I would have got him 28. Some of these prices, especially on the lower end, by the way, did get depressed with Dustin Johnson, yes, withdrawing on Monday. So if you got in early, very good on you. Usually Monday afternoon is when I do it, and he had already announced. So Zalatoris, 22-1. Lost strokes off the tee in his last two starts, but gained in the 13 of the 14 prior starts. And he's fourth in this week's field and approach for the last 24 rounds. Approach, I do think, is going to be important now that we have heard, and we heard from Colt Knost earlier, in terms of the rain that it received. They got 2 inches of rain, really, in the last 24 to 36 hours. So you're going to see some darts at these greens with very soft courses. So Zalatoris, Daniel Berger, 17-1, was kind of somebody that really fit in terms of my numbers because I looked at not only approach but also off the tee. Other than John Rahm, who is the tournament favorite this week, only Daniel Berger is in the top 10 in this field in both off the tee and approach over the last 24 rounds. Berger also is a very good player the week before a major. Go back to 2016, played 12 times a week before a major. In those starts, 6 times in the top 10, gained a total of 85.9 strokes in those events. Last time he did win last summer, actually, in the Metroplex and the other part of the Metroplex, Fort Worth, at the Colonial in that first start off the restart. So Daniel Berger, and then let's go to the 70s and the 80s really quickly. Charles Schwartzel, 70-1. Like a lot of South African players, he likes the bent grass greens, I think, better than the Bermuda greens, even though he was very good last week. Kind of gaining momentum, had that wrist injury in 2019, but he made the cut at the Masters, finished runner-up in New Orleans with his mate Louis Oosthuizen, and then 21st at the Valspar, 14th at the Wells Fargo, was 4th on approach last week, 3rd and tee to green, 70-1 I thought was fair, another 70-1, and he's probably been cut since then, Matt Kuchar, 3rd at the match play, 12th at the Valero, 18th at the Heritage, did miss the cut at the Masters, but in better form of weight, and a guy like Daniel Berger also when he played the week before the major. I think he's had 12 starts doing that because some guys like to take the week off. Some guys like to play the week before. Like Tiger always took the week off. Phil would always like to play. Kuchar's a guy that likes to play the week before a major. 12 times he's done it since 2016. Top 10, 5 of those times. So I think Kuchar was a square price at 70. Thomas Peters, 80-1. Could be rust here because he's only played once over the last 6 weeks, but he's got 5 straight finishes of 15 or better dating all the way back to January. Just hadn't played a ton this year. And
well, if what Colt Knost has to say is true about the Bombers really enjoying this course, that would fit Thomas Peters.
He's certainly a big hitter if you've watched him over the years. So 80-1, Doug Gim also 80-1, 3rd in the field this week for approach over the last 24 rounds. Been in contention a couple times this year, but has had a couple really disastrous Sunday rounds at the Arnold Palmer. Yes. He had a big number.
Well, the Players.
At the Players when he was paired with Justin Thomas, who won that event. That really set him back. But like I mentioned, played in this Korn Ferry Q School here at Craig Ranch in 2018 and finished 4th. So Doug Gim. Then we're going to go with a couple triple-digit guys. One guy that's kind of found something lately is Brant Snedeker.
Yes,
very quietly. 6th at the Valero. Top 11 in 3 of his last 4 starts. 4th with Keith Mitchell in New Orleans. He's a guy much better with the iron play than he is off the tee. Not a really long hitter, but if he's hitting them good, he can surely putt. He's always been a really above average putter. So Brant Snedeker, and then one bomber I went with. I went with Johnny Vegas at 125-1. He was number 1 in the field last week for strokes gained off the tee and 3rd in this week's field over the last 24 rounds. So the short game is not very good for Johnny Vegas if you look at those numbers in terms of scrambling, in terms of strokes gained putting. But if this is kind of turning into a bomber strack, what some people think it's going to be, I think he's going to like this setup.
Yeah, I always like Johnny Vegas when it is, you know, a course that caters to how you play off the tee. Certainly one of the best in that. And this is not the strongest of all fields in the world, but I think it may be a little top heavy for him. I like him in some of those alternate field events, you know, when he doesn't.
And that's where he's played better, because I was looking at his numbers because he was kind of the last guy I filled out the card with. And I was looking, it's like he's really good in like Puerto Rico, or he's really good in Dominican Republic. And of course did win those two RBCs in Glen Abbey.
Yes.
So he's
kind of keep it in the Continental.
Yeah, exactly. He hasn't gone well. He's actually a University of Texas Longhorn, but
that's right.
Has never really been great here in Texas. Maybe this is his week, but I thought at 125, it was worth a stab.
All right. We'll take a look at mine now. And I have to preface this by saying I dumbed it down pretty good this week. We have never seen this course on the PGA Tour before. You kind of have to dive in and do some research. And Wes alluded to with the Korn Ferry Tour, the Q School, back when it was the Web.com and the Nationwide Tour. That's where Colt Knost played it in 2008 and then also in 2012. I think what I was able to find is, and Colt, you know, kind of backs this up, I think you're going to have a birdie fest.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with the favorites. You know, the way I put my numbers out there, I went with absolutely strokes gained off the tee, stroke gained approach, and who makes birdies. And who better than John Rahm and Bryson DeChambeau?
They were on all of those because I used those categories, off the tee, approach, and also birdies gain. Those guys were all in the top 10, basically, in those categories.
Yeah, so again, I didn't get too invested in this tournament. I'm kind of saving my bullets for next week with the PGA Championship. But I had to dive in and drink the Kool-Aid on the favorites this week, because I just think, you know, the field is not outstanding, and with Dustin Johnson now gone, that makes it even a little bit weaker. I do think the Texas guys are going to play very well and have a little bit of an advantage over the rest of the field this week. But, you know, DeChambeau even told Colt that he can tear this place apart, and I think he can. With the wide-open fairways, I think DeChambeau and Rahm can really tear this apart. Now, Scottie Scheffler, you know, getting the news that he's played this place all of his life, I really like that. He's excellent off the tee. Obviously, he's very familiar with this golf course, may know it better than anybody else in the field, so I went with him. And then Matthew Fitzpatrick, you know, he's another guy that's at a shorter price and towards the top of the board there, but I couldn't ignore his form. He has just been playing so well as of late, and just came off of another top five finish at the RBC Heritage. So we'll see if he fires this week. And then my one long shot was Doug Gim, and I was able to find an incredible price on him at 110-1. Couple of matchups took Kuchar over Keith Mitchell. You and I line up on that one, Wes. I was kind of fading Mitchell. Not only on Kuchar with his recent form, and you touched on that with one of your outright descriptions, but also a little bit of a fade of Mitchell, who I think may have played a little bit above his head last week at Quail Hollow, could be set to come back down to earth a little bit, and then went with Ryan Palmer over Mark Leishman. I think Palmer, we haven't seen him on the scene a whole lot as of late. I think he could fire pretty well here this week.
And I don't disagree with that, because when you're an older player, and Ryan Palmer is now approaching his mid-40s, winning your home event is a lot more important to you, because you're not like Scheffler or some of these guys where it's like, well, they're going to have 20 more chances maybe to win this thing. Ryan Palmer doesn't have as many, so I actually almost played that matchup myself. A lot of people I respect do like Leishman, but Ryan Palmer's played some very good golf this season.
He, you know, and he's been through that home game thing. Of course, he's a member at Colonial Country Club, so all the tournaments in Texas, Ryan Palmer throughout his career has had that home game effect and had to deal with all that pressure. So I think at probably this stage in his career, he's a lot more comfortable with that situation.
Yeah, no question about it. So he should be firing and ready to go. Had been close a couple times this year. Maybe this is the breakthrough.
So again, recommendation, maybe keep it simple this week, guys. It's a course we're not completely familiar with. I certainly dumbed down the investment.
That's why a lot of my longer prices are very small units. I basically kind of went on volume, but in terms of the, you know, the triple digit guys, I'm obviously playing those much less than I am the shorter guys.
Next week, we've got a couple of beauties. We double up on the the guests for the major championships. It'll be Jeff Davis of Circa Sports and Dave Tindall from the UK as we get ready to prepare for the PGA Championship right here on Long Shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.